This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield. The proposed NFL concussion settlement remains a contentious issue. U.S. District Judge Anita Brody conferred preliminary approval on the settlement earlier this month. She will hold a fairness hearing on November 19th. Sports on Earth writer Patrick Ruby is among those who've said the agreement is flawed. Patrick, seven former players have asked a federal appeals court to intervene on their behalf. What's their main complaint?
So the biggest thing they bring up in their actual appeal and objection is the case of CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. That's the disease, you know, that Mike Webster had. It was found in his brain. It was at the heart of League of Denial. In the terms of the settlement as proposed right now, you know, diseases like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, dementia, all pay out with certain levels of cash awards. With CTE, it only pays out if you have, quote unquote, death with CTE. However, there's a cutoff date for that death. You have to have died between January 1st, 2006 and July 7th, 2014, the date of preliminary approval of the settlement. So every single NFL retiree going forward, and there's about 20,000 of these guys, if they're still alive to hear this right now and they die and they have CTE and they suffer and their families suffer, they're going to get nothing for that.
Christopher Seeger, co-lead counsel for the plaintiffs, says the contention by former players that those with CTE will not get paid is something, quote, they just get wrong. He has said, if you get sick, period, you get paid. Should that rebuttal be reassuring?
No. Christopher Seeger is a lawyer. He's not a scientist, and I'm not sure if he's aware of the actual science at play here. They found that in general, this is a recent study from 2013, they looked at 33 players who was diagnosed in their brains after death, and they found that there's basically two groups, two sort of different strains of this, of how the symptoms present themselves. One group, the symptoms come when you're older. They tend to be cognitive, which means you have things like memory loss. Get this in your 50s, your 60s, your 70s. The second group, the symptoms come when you're younger. And they tend to be things like mood disturbances, behavioral problems. This is the group of Junior Seau. This is the group of Dave Duerson, you know, both of whom committed suicide, both of whom were later found to have CTE in their brains, both of whom were fairly young when that happened. They were in their 40s. Those kinds of symptoms, the settlement does not screen for those. The settlement has what's called a baseline assessment program. It's all cognitive tests. So, yes, if some of your CTE symptoms overlap with the symptoms of dementia, it may catch that and it may pay out, but it's not going to catch out or pay out if you have these other symptoms. And by the way, in that study, the group with the emotional mood problems coming out of CTE, they were the larger group. They were twice as big.
Of course, the argument for getting this settlement approved quickly is that there's a lot of people who need money now because they're in real trouble. Is that a compelling argument?
You know, I think that there is a lot of compellingness to that from the standpoint of, there are players who are in, you know, later stages of dementia, or they have ALS, which is a terrible wasting disease, or they've got Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, and absolutely, they should be helped right now. The NFL makes a lot of money. The NFL, if it wants, can take care of the guys that are in the worst shape right now. For that matter, so could the players' union. So could maybe the top players' attorneys. We should make a note here that Chris Seeger, Saul Weiss, and four other lawyers who did all the negotiating with the NFL and did not do any discovery in this case, by the way, did 12 days of negotiations before coming to a settlement, they stand to make a separate payment of $112.5 million. So they've got some financial incentive to get it pushed through.
Finally, Patrick, do you think Judge Brody is likely to approve the settlement as it stands despite the objections of some of the former players?
That's a great question. And right now, I'm really not sure. I mean, she seems to be wanting to get this out of her courtroom. The reason I say that is the objection itself that these seven players filed, it was actually filed the week before she gave preliminary approval of the settlement. In her preliminary approval notice, she said there was no objections. That's not good for the objectors. That being said, if there is that groundswell among players, if they look at this deal and say, you know what, this isn't good enough, a bunch of us are going to opt out, or a bunch more of us are going to object, or tons of us are going to show up at that fairness hearing and raise all sorts of problems. And on top of that, if we actually had more concern in the media and it becomes more of a bigger story, That all of that together could put a lot of pressure on Judge Brody to say, you guys need to come up with a better deal.
You can find a link to Sports on Earth writer Patrick Ruby's story titled Under Further Review at onlyagame.org. Patrick, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Bill, thank you so much for having me on. Anytime.